rescued from a life or death situation. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it was a car accident. Maybe it was a drowning. Maybe it was some form of a disease. You've been set free from cancer or COVID or whatever the case may be. Maybe it was some other crisis that could have easily snatched your life away. Even if you have not personally confronted death, most all of us know somebody that has. I've been confronted with it more times than I care to remember it. But when we think about life-threatening situations, every one of us face the crisis of sin in our life. Without question, every one of us will have to come to grips with this issue of sin. And this morning, my message title is Beginning of a New Life. The Bible says that we're to be born again. The Bible says that if we are not born again, we are doomed to a devil's hell. I know I sound kind of harsh right out of the gate this morning, but listen, I believe with all my heart the time is running away from us. It's way too short to be monkeying around and playing patty cake in a church. The truth is the only thing, folks, that's going to set us free. And I've said this so many times, but I feel like I need to say it again today. I didn't come here today to pat you on the back and tell you everything's going to be okay. My job is to confront with the Word, with the truth of God. And so whether we acknowledge the sin or whether we deny it doesn't change the reality that sin will doom us to eternal death. We're all gripped by the hand of sin. We have been held in bondage by its power. Some of us today still are held in bondage to sin's power. No matter how much you try and keep from sinning, we discover that we still do wrong and sometimes we still come up short. Am I preaching to anybody at all today? We cannot achieve perfection. No matter how diligently we try, and I've tried. I've said, Lord, I'm not going to... How many of you have ever made that? Lord, I'm not ever doing that again. I'm not ever doing that again. Bam! There you are, doing it again. Come on, somebody. I'm $20, I'll buy you an amen. Come on. Glory, I'll charge it, all right? I'll owe it to you, all right, brother? We're always coming up short, it seems. To some degree, but even more tragic, we discover, church, that we are gripped by death. I mean, I'm 64. I used to think 64 was old. I thought we was friends. But listen, I'm thinking 80s and 90s and 100s are you're now we're but you wear it well, brother, I'll tell you right now. No human being, church, is going to escape this thing called death. I mean, unless the eastern sky splits and the Lord raptures the church, which I'm all for that. Amen? But outside of that, every one of us are going to be, or we're going to face this thing called death. The grave is inevitable. But the grave is not the ending. The grave is not your final resting place. But it's super awesome, and I think it is, in fact, super awesome message that I have come up with in the Scriptures this morning by, I believe, the inspiration and the unction. I love the word unction. Unction, that just roll, I mean, unction. The unction of the Holy Ghost that I want us to look at this morning is this. Write it down. We can be saved. We can be saved. There are those seated in this house this morning that have gotten saved in this house. That have gotten saved by the Lord God Almighty in this place. Came in here not knowing God, but left here going, hey, I'm a child of God. Woo! Hey, tell him to quiet down in there. I'm not going to compete with them. You're never that loud. I'm glad they're loud. They'll have a good time in there this morning. Church, the wonderful gift of salvation has been offered. It has been purchased. It has been delivered to you and I. And salvation from sin and death can, in fact, be ours. God sent the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to provide redemption for us. And it is this awesome message that the prophet Isaiah spoke about and proclaimed, prophesied. It was a prophecy, as a foretelling of a future event. And Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah chapter 61, the first three verses, of the coming of the Messiah. Stand with me and read, turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 61, and when you're there, stand, and we're going to read the first three verses together. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 51 is an entirely different message. We'll get to that some other day. But today we're going to 61, starting in verse 1. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison doors to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort and to mourn, to console those whom mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Father God, I pray this morning that You would add Your anointing, not to the Word that's already anointed, but God, this preacher needs Your anointing desperately today. God, I pray Your people have Your anointing to receive, Lord, from Your Word this morning. And I thank You for it. I thank You for lives that You're going to touch today. I believe it, Lord. In fact, I declare it today that lives are going to be touched and transformed in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. God gave the wonderful promise of salvation through the coming Savior. Yesterday, at our men's breakfast, we talked about an inheritance. And in order for somebody to receive an inheritance, somebody else has to die. And so the inheritance that we receive comes through the death of Jesus Christ, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And amazingly, this prophecy in Isaiah 61 was given over 700 years before Christ came. 700 years the people were waiting. 700 years there was a level of anticipation of the coming Messiah. And for 700 years he was built up, and it was all this stuff. And after when he finally came, those that were anticipating him the most blew it. They missed it. Why? Because he did not come in the way they had perceived that he was going to come. They didn't fit into his, he didn't fit into their little mold that they had come up with. They were waiting for a conquering king. How many of you know he's a conquering king? I mean, they were waiting for a ruler. How many of you know he's a ruler this morning? But he didn't fit the mold. He didn't look like what they had envisioned. I don't know what you think he's going to look like, but I can tell you this. He doesn't look like the picture that you've got hanging on the wall. Hello. I hate those pictures of Jesus with his crown of thorns on and a few little stripes across him and a little trickle. I hate those. I want to just rip them down, tear them up. Because that is an absolutely inaccurate depiction of what Jesus Christ went through for you and for me. They didn't set that crown just like that one over his head gently. They jammed it down over his ears and blood flew. I don't know if you've ever had a head wound, but your head bleeds. Heads bleed really bad. So those are just, it's just nonsense. Right after Jesus' baptism in the wilderness, And the temptation, the first thing that Jesus did was go to his hometown of Nazareth. And when he got there, on the Sabbath, he attended worship in the synagogue and personally stood up to read the Scripture, choosing rather part of this very passage of Scripture that you and I read. What happened, however, at the conclusion of his reading was most dramatic and astounding to the congregation. Listen to the account given by the Gospel of Luke in chapter 4 and verse 17 through 21. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." In that very moment of time, Jesus declared to them, your Messiah, that prophecy over 700 years ago, that prophecy is fulfilled before your very eyes this morning, because I am the anointed Messiah that has been sent from heaven. And that freaked them guys out. It freaked them out. Isaiah pictured the deliverance of Israel from exile in Babylon in the year of Jubilee, when all debts are canceled and all slaves are set free and all property is returned to its original owner. I mean, if you think that would be a great deal, how about just all your, it's year seven, all your debts are paid. That would be a great day, wouldn't it? But the release from the Babylonian exile had not brought the expected fulfillment. They were still a conquered and an oppressed people. So Isaiah is referring to a future messianic age. Jesus boldly declares, he boldly announces, without reservation, he declares to them, the scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. He was the fulfillment. He was proclaiming himself as the one who would bring this good news to pass, but he would do so in a way that the people were not ready and not yet able to grasp. Amen. How many of you have been given news and you just couldn't wrap your head around it? Jesus claimed to be the Messiah. He claimed to be the servant of the Lord. He was the promised Savior of the world. And the Savior was to be anointed by God's very own Spirit. So in these verses, we see all three persons of the Godhead or the Trinity mentioned here. The Spirit, the Lord Jehovah or Yahweh, and the Messiah or Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who clearly fulfilled the mission spelled out in the passage that we read. You go back and read about the life of Jesus and you'll find and you'll see that He fulfilled every bit of that. How many of you were in bondage? Are you kidding me? We're going to have a great altar call today. How many of you were in bondage? Every hand in the house ought to be in the air, because before Jesus, you were in bondage to sin. Every one of us, without question. He has set us free. He has set us completely free. Over 700 years before Jesus came, it was predicted that God's very own Spirit would rest on the Messiah. In fact, by the fullness of the Spirit of God, the Messiah would in fact be equipped to fulfill His task. And the Scripture says that when Jesus was baptized, the heavens were opened, the Spirit of God descended and sat on Him like a dove. In fact, Matthew chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17, the voice of God is heard saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Who is? The one that the dove sat on. The one that John was baptizing in the Jordan River. That's the one. I mean, God Himself. Everybody heard the voice. Everybody saw the dove descending. Why in the world could people not buy into and receive and comprehend that it was that guy that He was talking about? But again, He didn't fit their mold. He didn't fit their plan. The very fullness of God Himself, the fullness of His Spirit rested upon the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, "For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." How many of you know, as a child of God, you have the fullness of the Godhead in you? You are empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. We better do more than just believe it. We better receive it and we better act upon it. And live it. Can I tell you this morning that our Savior was to be sent into the world on a very special mission, to seek and to save those who are lost? How many of you know when you're well, you don't go to the doctor? I mean, if you do go to the doctor when you're well, it's just because you're having something of a yearly physical or yearly examination that's already been scheduled. But look, I'm not, maybe you do, I don't know. I'm not just going to go to the doctor just, you know, because. Because they're like lawyers. They don't. I mean, you walk in the door, you're getting a bill. You call them on the phone, you're getting a bill. Hey, man, I don't know who sets up those rates, but they've got it figured out. They're not ashamed. They're not bashful. He was on a special mission. Keep in mind, church, that Isaiah was preaching to the people of his own day, doing all that he could to give them hope in the midst of a troubling world. Are we living in the midst of a troubling world today? My message today, I pray to God it gives you some hope. I hope you get some hope. Focusing our attention on the future, he points them to the coming of the Messiah, because their only hope was in the Savior of the world. It was only He could deliver them from the trials and the temptations and from evil and bondage and the death in this world. Only Jesus. I have no idea how to calculate the number of sheep or cattle or doves, animals that were unwilling to be sacrificed, but yet were sacrificed. I can't even begin to comprehend the number. And none of that, all of that blood that was poured out, none of that blood was lasting blood. It was only when Jesus Himself came and He was sacrificed, shed His blood according to God's Word, one time for everybody, that it would never wear out. It would never run out. It would never fade away. There's songs that have been written, and they're great songs, but their verbiage is messed up. That Jesus' blood was spilled on Calvary. I got news for you. You spill stuff on accident. His blood wasn't spilled. It was shed. It was poured out. It was a deliberate act. There was no accident involved. I want to look at six specific tasks in the Savior's mission this morning. Number one, the Savior's mission was to preach the good news to the poor. Who's the poor? Anybody outside of Christ is poor. I don't care how much money they have. His mission was to preach the good news. The poor means not only poor in material possessions, but poor in spirit. And a person that is poor in spirit acknowledges his utter helplessness before God, his spiritual need. He knows that he is solely dependent on God to meet his needs. How many of you know that we've got to always be looking? We've got to always be have our spiritual antenna, if I can use that. It's kind of stupid, but how many of you know you got to have your attention to the Lord? We had men's breakfast yesterday. It was awesome. The food was good too. But the greatest thing about our men's breakfast yesterday was there was three young men there. Just boys. Maybe junior high. And I just was being myself. I wouldn't let them. They wanted to, I'm sure of it. I picked on them, man. I just give it to them. It was awesome. I tell them, you need to eat all that food. And I was just messing with them. I didn't realize why I was messing with them until I was about done messing with them. Because all of a sudden, I felt like the Lord was saying, you need to ask Him some questions. And so I began to ask some questions, some serious questions. And I asked one of the young men, I said, are you even saved? We're talking to maybe a 12 or 13-year-old boy. And he looked right across the table at me and said, nope. I said, do you go to church? He said, yeah. And I immediately thought, what in the world are they preaching in that church? Why has this young man not been compelled? And I said, well, what's the name of your church? He said, I don't know. Which opened me up to an entire new dialogue. This young man doesn't even know the name of the church that he's going to. That's sad. And so I said, I nailed this kid to the wall. It was almost mean. But I looked right at him and I said, have you ever had a girlfriend? He said, yeah. I said, did you like her? He said, yeah. I said, what was her name? At a point. I said, well, what was her name? And so he told me. And I said, are you together? And he said, no. I said, but you still remember her name. I said, the reason you remember her name was because you had established a relationship. And I said, son, you need to establish a relationship between you and God, and when you do, you probably won't forget the name of the church. And we talked, and other people input, and it was great. And at the end of it, I said, listen, do you want to get saved? Do you want to give your life to Jesus? He said, uh-huh. And so we prayed right there around that table yesterday morning, and three young men prayed that prayer and gave their life to Jesus at a breakfast. Because we were listening to the voice of the Lord. Listen, they're not going to remember that they came to church and had breakfast, but they're going to remember what happened that morning. They were poor in spirit. They had food, they had provision, but there was lacking one thing. And now they are solely dependent on our Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ has come, church, to preach salvation to the poor, to those ready to know that they need to be saved. And God has promised the kingdom of heaven. I'm promised that. I don't know about the rest of you, but the enemy comes to me on a regular basis and tells me you ain't going to make it. But you know what? He's a liar. He's a liar. How do I know that that's a lie? Because it came from the father of all lies. He can't tell the truth. Number one, the Savior's mission is to preach the good news to the poor. Number two, the Savior's mission is to heal a broken heart. Has anybody ever had a broken heart? Anybody ever been brokenhearted? Throughout every generation, church, there are masses who are brokenhearted, just as there were during the day of Isaiah. Internal and external pain can be so deep that they break the human heart. To heal and to bind up the heart was one of the purposes for which God has sent our Messiah. Once Christ came, He immediately began to heal the brokenhearted. He broke all the rules. I don't know if you know that, but Jesus broke a lot of rules. You're not supposed to talk to Samaritan people. He's out there sitting on the well talking to these. I mean, He broke the rules. And once He came into the world, He immediately began to heal. And He continues that ministry today. How many of you can attest to that? But a broken heart, but God did something. A broken heart can be restored just by the touch of Jesus. And He longs to bind up and heal the brokenhearted. Number three, the Savior's mission was to proclaim freedom to those held captive. Those young men didn't even know that they were held captive. But the Lord set them free yesterday. Set them free. They were in bondage. Let me be clear. This prophetic word about setting captives free is not a promise that all criminals in the world will be set free from prison. That is not what is being said. But you are in an invisible kind of a prison in when you are outside of a relationship with the Lord. You're bound up by the things of this world. And we gotta have the gates torn down. Instead it refers to the two captivating forces from which people cannot escape. Number one is sin, the other one is death. We've been set free from the law. I talked about this last Sunday. We've been set free from the law of sin and death. We've been born again. My life is not the same. My life is way different than it was 40 or 50 years ago. I promise you, it's different. The human race has been taken captive, taken hostage by sin and death. And every human being sins. And most of the time, oftentimes, we can't help but sin. We just walk into it. Every human being is going to die. You can't help it. You're going to die. Unless we get raptured, we are going to die. We are going to breathe our last breath. And when that happens, we will be transformed. It is graduation day. It can be a good day or it can be a bad day. And isn't it amazing that you and I have been entrusted with the choice of whether or not it's going to be a good day or a bad day? Smoking or non-smoking? It's your choice. Nobody has to. We talked yesterday about if he's such a good God, if he's so loving, why would he send good people to hell? And the reality is he does not send you to hell. You choose that. The Bible says with every temptation, God has made a way of escape. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve, Joshua said in chapter 24. Joshua says, listen, as for me and my house, he made a declaration. As for me and my house, as for me and my house, Ray, as for you and your house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. Period. That's just the end of the story. I'm not going to serve anything else. I'm going to serve the Lord. I might mess up. I might blow it from time to time. But at the end of the day, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm declaring His praises in the world. No human being has the energy or the power or the ability to free him or herself. Well, when I die, I'm just going to be dead. Wrong answer. When I die, I'm just going to accept whatever's there. Bad idea. Why would you risk that when you can have the other? Why would I take a chance of stepping through a door not knowing what's on the other side of the door when I can go through a door that I know all about what's on the other side of it? Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't know all about heaven. All I know is I'm going there. And I know that when I get there, I am not going to be disappointed. I'm not going to be disappointed. I'm in anticipation. I'm not in a hurry to die, but I'm in a hurry to get to heaven. I want God to continue to use me. I want to continue to see people get saved. But if God chooses to take me today, I'm not going to say, can you just send me back? Not happening, pal. Woo! I made it! Woo! Three of you. Woo! We don't have the energy. We don't have the power. We don't have the ability. Only God can redeem you and I. Only God can deliver you and I from wickedness and from death. He has chosen to do this through His Savior, through the Savior that He sent, the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved you, all y'all. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish. Your whosoever. Did you know that was your name? Whosoever. Good to know you. Whosoever. Good to know you. Whosoever. Glad to have you with us today. Whosoever. That means anybody that is willing to accept what Jesus Christ did on the cross is whosoever and will and can be saved if you choose that. He's not going to force Himself on you. Number four. The Savior's mission was to proclaim the year of God's salvation and the coming day of judgment. Church, there is coming a day that you do not want to be a part of. There's coming a day. A person mourns due to being bruised physically and mentally and emotionally and physiologically or spiritually. In essence, the Savior was to comfort all who were burdened under the weight. I'm ahead of myself, aren't I? That's why I have people in the back keep me online. When the Messiah comes back to the world, am I doing better now back? Thank you very much. His mission is to proclaim the year of God's salvation and the coming of judgment. He was to proclaim this glorious message of salvation. And from the point of our Savior's coming to the end of human history, the marvelous testimony of man's liberation from sin and death and from the coming judgment is to be declared. Let me tell you something. I talk about my past a lot. You know why? Because I've been set free from it. I'm not in bondage to it anymore. I've been declared free. I've been redeemed. I've been purchased. You know what that means? Somebody bought me with a price. That means I'm no longer my own, Ray. I don't get to choose what I do. To some degree. When you know who you are and whose you are, when you understand what His Word says, you realize that you're no longer your own. How many of you have been in the military? How many of you got to choose what you did when you were in the military? I don't want to do that today. I want you to go out and rake rocks. I don't want to do that. Too bad. You either do it or you pay a heavy price. And you wish that you would have been out there picking rocks or peeling potatoes or whatever it is. The Bible makes it clear that we are a part of an army. Some of us are generals. Some of us are lieutenants. Some of you are private first classes. And some of you are whatever. But we're all a part of the army. But let me ask you this very hard question this morning. I know I'm being mean, but are you AWOL? Are you AWOL? Are you absent without leave? Are you missing in action? Are you doing what the commander has asked you to do? It's the craziest army in the world because you get to choose to some degree. God's looking for an army that will be obedient. God is looking for a people that will do what He says to do, when He says to do it, when He says to do it, and how He says to do it without question. Have you ever worked with somebody that has a question for everything? Listen, I want you to go over there and talk to that person. What for? Well, because I just asked you to. Well, what do you want me to say? You'll know what to say. Just go to... Well, how am I going to know? How long are you going to want me to talk to them? When do you want me to do it? Well, I want you to do it now. Why now? What if they're mean to me? What if they call me names? Suck it up, Buttercup. There's people that's got a question for everything. Just quit asking questions and just go do it. Just let God bless you. Listen, you're in good company. You're in good company. Remember when Moses was told to go and talk? not me, man. I can't even talk. I got this stuttering problem. How am I going to know what to say? I mean, here's Moses, one of the patriarchs, arguing with God, So you're in good company. Listen, just go do what he said. Just look for opportunities. God's favor, God's wonderful grace is going to be poured out on all people. He has poured it out on us. And because of his grace, people can get saved. Them young men got saved at a men's breakfast yesterday. They didn't come to get saved. They came for breakfast. They came for berry cobbler. Thank you very much. How many of you know berry cobbler is great for breakfast? It's fruit. It's fruit. Don't bust on it. It was fruit. And it was good fruit. And I might have had more than one piece. Maybe. No, I for sure did. I promise you. I did. They came for... Well, probably they came because the dad figure was coming and they just came to be with him. But they met another father. They met another father. Number five, the Savior's mission was to comfort all who mourned or are grieved. Anybody fit that bill? A person mourns from being bruised physically or mentally or emotionally or physiologically or spiritually. But in essence, the Savior is to comfort all who are burdened under the weight of their suffering. Do you know that He invites you to cast your care on Him? What's the song we sing? Shake off those heavy hands. Lift up those holy hands. Let's just praise the Lord. Isn't that kind of how it goes? All God's people praise the Lord. Shake it off. You ever seen a dog? Shake it off, man. Lay it down. Quit carrying it. Bob, your story about the backpack. Obviously, it's made an impression on me because I preach about it all. It's your story and I use it. Quit putting stuff in your backpack and lay it down on the altar and let God have it and quit picking it up and putting it back in your backpack. Just quit doing it. But it's mine. I've had this for a long time. I want to take care of it. People carrying around poison and wonder why they're sick. Because we just don't want to lay it down. What would I do without it? I've had it for all this time. No, go ahead. Lay it down. Walk away. He wants to comfort all who are burdened under the weight of their suffering. Listen, don't be weighted down. How you doing? Well, under the circumstances, not bad. Well, what in the world, as a child of God, are you doing under the circumstance? You've not been called to be under the circumstances. You're to be above and not beneath, the head and not the tail. I've milked a few cows. The tail is a bad end. That's a bad... It's bad. Everybody that's laughing has been around a tail at one time or another. It's an amazing thing. When Christ came, church, He began to fulfill this wonderful promise, and he reached out to console and to reassure those who are hurt. The lady at the well, man, look at the compassion that Jesus had for her. She wasn't even a Jew. She was a Samaritan. And Jesus just reached out in love to her. Where's your husband? Wait, no, here. Yeah. Because you've been with, you had five other ones before that. He wasn't being mean. He was just declaring to her who he was. He didn't scold her. How about the woman that was caught red-handed in adultery? He didn't condemn her. He said, in fact, you without sin be the first one to cast a stone. He just starts writing in the sand. I don't know what he wrote, but I have an idea. He's probably writing their names down. You did this, and you did this. And when he looked up, everybody was gone. And he asked her, where's all your accusers? She said, I don't know. He said, well, I don't condemn you either. What about the woman that had the issue of blood? For 12 years, she'd spent all of her money on doctors. She could not, by law, come out of her house. And if she did, she had to yell, unclean, unclean. How humiliating, ladies, would that be? To everywhere you went, just, I'm unclean. It's like, are you kidding me? How degrading is that? But she came to a place, she'd carried this weight of this suffering and this burden on her for so long. How many of you have just got sick and tired of being sick and tired? She said, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I got no money left. Maybe they need to throw me in jail so at least I can eat. I'm just speaking evangelistically. But regardless of that, she said, listen, enough is enough. And she stepped out. When she stepped out, church, I don't know what your theology is, but mine is when she stepped out, she began to be healed. She stepped out in faith. I'm done being bound up in my house. I'm tired of being in bondage. I'm tired of being under house arrest for 12 years. She said, enough. She heard that Jesus was in town. And she had this revelation in her mind. If I could just touch the hem of his garment. If I could just touch now you got to understand that story, because in that story, they were in town. There was people everywhere. Everywhere Jesus went, people were everywhere. And Jesus said, when she touched him, who touched me? And the disciples are like, are you kidding me? Everybody's touching you. Everybody's touching you. Are you kidding me? Why would you ask that? He said, no. You don't understand. He said, somebody touched me with faith. Somebody touched me expecting to receive something because I felt virtue. He perceived virtue flow out of him in that moment. And she was in the crowd and she knew, I'm busted. And she said, it's me. And he said, Your faith has made you whole. Your faith. From that day forward, her flow of blood, her issue of blood was dried up. She is healed. Why? Because she, by faith, stepped out. She said, I've had enough. I'm getting out of here. No more hollering, I'm unclean. She'd probably run around going, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Set free. Maybe we ought to start shouting that around a little bit. I've been set free. Listen, if you win the lottery, you're going to be yelling something. Hello? Well, Pastor, I promise I'm going to tithe to the church. Glory. You better. We got a building to build out there. Glory to God. Woo! advocating that you play the lottery. I'm not doing that at all. But if you do, God will bless you. All that, Pastor, that's the devil's money. Let me take you to the Word of God, because He said the wealth of the wicked will be laid up for the righteous. Bam! What it says. Look it up. Amen. Come on, girl. Give me some witness over here, would you? Clearinghouse Publishers just knocked on your door. You have won $10,000 for a week for the rest of your life. I just can't take it. It's of the devil. Give them my address. I'll share it with you. Lay your burdens down. When He came to fulfill the promise, and He wants to reassure and console us. Even today, He will comfort anybody that will turn to Him in pain and suffering. When you turn to Jesus, I want you to know He is right there. He's ready. He don't care what you've done in the past. In fact, He don't care if you got saved last Sunday, but you feel like getting saved this Sunday. Get saved this Sunday. Don't wait. Number six, the Savior gives two wonderful promises to those who are going through hard times and deep sorrow. Anybody ever been through hard times and deep sorrow? I want you to know God loves you. God experienced, listen, He went through some suffering. He's gone through times of deep sorrow. Let me take you back to the garden. He took His buddies with Him. You can always count on your buddies, right? I mean, when you take your buddies, Bob, and listen, Bob, I want you to go, and I want you to, you and Dennis and Anthony, and I want you guys to come and bring, you know, bring all the guys, and we're going to pray, all right? It's going to be prayer time. You guys pray right here, Ray. I'm going to go over here and pray by myself. But you guys pray, all right? He's over here and he's praying. And the Bible says that He is praying and great drops of blood were coming from his forehead because He was under so much stress and so much pressure. Not because He was facing the cross. Because He was facing the only time in history when His Father was going to turn and look away from Him. And He came back to check on His buddies. And they were asleep. Like Ray. He's faking it. He's just an illustration for me over there. He said, could you guys not tarry for 1 hour? Could you guys not pray with me for 1 hour? Jesus was heartbroken. The guys that He had spent 3.5 years with mentoring them, he'd spent the nights with them, He'd fed them, He'd done miracles around them, and all this stuff over and over and over, and they'd seen all of this. He asked them one thing. They let Him down. They let Him down. Jesus knows what it's like to feel sorrow. He knows what it's like to go through hard times. He gives us two promises to those that are going through hard times and deep sorrow. Number one, they will be given the clothing of beauty. They will be given gladness and joy and praise instead of clothing of sackcloth and ashes. When in the Old Testament times, when things were bad and they were mourning, they put on sackcloth and ashes. Throw ashes all over. That's great. You're feeling bad when you got to put ashes all over you. John chapter 15 verse 11 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Come on! The joy of the Lord is my strength. That's why I'm so buff. I'm a happy guy. Not only am I happy, but I'm joyful. Somebody needs to hear this morning. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. And finally, he's going to give us a new name, a testimony of righteousness. Revelations 3 and 12 says, "He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name." I told those young men yesterday, I said, you can have your name recorded in heaven today. Anybody hear from men's breakfast yesterday? Heard me say that? You can have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In fact, if your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's a bad day. And I told him, he'll give you a new name. He'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's why this morning, I've preached this the best way that I know how. I've tried to make it clear. I've tried to make it pointed. I've tried to let you know. But I got to ask you this question this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed and people praying. Is your name, not your neighbor's, is your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are you on record in the heavenlies? Have you had an intimate conversation with Jesus about your sin? About your life? About your final resting place? Young people, let me encourage you this morning. Don't wait around for a better day to get saved. Don't say, well, I can't get saved today because if I do, I'm probably going to miss out on a lot of fun. Listen, let me just tell you something from experience. There's a lot of stuff in this world you need to miss out on. My mom and dad go to church. I go to church. My grandma and grandpa went to church. I went to church with them. I've been in all kinds of churches. Pretty sure I'm going to be okay. That's a bad gamble. Going to church don't make you a Christian. Sitting in a chair out in your garage don't make you an automobile. You want to be a Christian, you've got to cast your cares on Jesus. You've got to lay your burdens at the altar. You've got to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. That He is who He says He is. Because one day, He's coming back. For a people. And if you don't know Him as your personal Lord and Savior, you will not make heaven your home. You'll go to a devil's hell, a very real place. People are praying, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Remind you what it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. If you're in the sound of my voice today, if you're watching by way of the internet, if you're in this house, and you don't know that you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior. If you're not positive, you can be today. If you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I want my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life," I want you to raise your hand right now because I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Yes, I see those hands. You can put them down. Somebody else say, "Preacher, that's me. I want to make sure today that my name is written down." Listen, you won't make heaven your home if you don't do it. You just won't. Sounds harsh and might even sound mean, but I hope you understand that it's coming from the heart of a pastor that has lived a rough life. But I met the Savior of the world and I know what He'll do for you because I know what He's done for me. You haven't been too bad. You haven't missed your opportunity. Today is your opportunity. One more time. You guys that are getting baptized, if you want to go get ready, you can go. Go get ready. If you're here today and you say, "Preacher, that's me, I need Jesus," raise your hand. Anybody at all, say it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, if you raised your hand, I want you to come. I want to pray with you. I've got people that want to pray with you. Come on.